Hello and welcome to episode 468 of LeagueCast Podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Heyo, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Happy not Wednesday.
It is Tuesday, my dudes. On this episode, we've got a new patron. We've got some LeagueCast news. We've got a little bit of new news, including a new patch. We've got some competitive league that we're going to be talking about. The LCS lock-in tournament happened. We've got roundtable from last week and this week, and then we're going to close it out with some emails. Aiden, how was your week?
My week was great. I played a lot of League this week for the first time in a long time. I grinded out a bunch of games. I think I got placed last week, right? I was already placed.
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
I think you were like one game out, but you were like plat two.
Yeah. So the main thing is that now I'm the highest ELO podcaster. I'm in series to diamond, and my MMR is a little fucky wucky, to say the least. I played my game. I was at 97 points plat one today, and I played my game for 3 points today, and it had four diamond one players, three diamond two players, and then one diamond three player or something like that. Something crazy. It's just something bullshit. And I'm plat one right now. So I won that game, beat out my diamond one top laner, and I got my 3 points, and now I'm in series. So hopefully I'll win that series. Hopefully I'll win the race to diamond.
Hopefully you lose, you nerd.
Well, no, it'd be kind of cool if I won, though, right?
I hope both of you lose.
you normally win, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've won the last 3 years we've done this. Both categories, except for last year, Colton, you won in time.
Yeah.
Like you beat me by like a day or something like that, but you had like a fair bit more games, I think.
Yeah, no, yeah. I beat you in like calendar time, but I think I had like 40 more games.
Yeah.
I believe calendar time was the original metric.
It's weird how you're just so much better at solo queue than I am.
I also think I RNG better teammates typically than you.
Like, yeah, because you're better at solo queue.
Yeah.
RNG teammates is a solo queue skill.
True.
I very much do put myself in the spot of playing like a role like top and then just hanging out and letting my team hopefully not throw.
Yeah, you know, and that somehow works for you, but somehow when I have 25 KP on Nunu and their jungler has 4, I lose that game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't understand why. That's crazy. But anyways, we have one other piece of news regarding me, but we'll get to that in our Metakaiser, because there's a certain character I want to talk a little bit about, because I think they're kind of good in the meta, and no one's playing them. Even on OP.GG, they're listed as, like, RIP, because there's not enough games for it, but I think they're fucking bonkers. True. So.
I don't know who you're talking about, because I haven't really heard you, so I'm looking forward to that section, I guess. We'll get to that.
Yeah, what about you, Colton? How was your week?
My week's pretty good. I've been working on a pretty in-depth report at work, so that's been occupying a lot of my time and why I've been getting home later most nights this week. But that's pretty much done as of today. I just need to like present it later in the week. But aside from that, been getting back into actual League of Legends. I'm currently, I think, plat 2, like 90 points. I was plat one, and then I lost a bunch of games because I streamed. I streamed, I won one game, I lost like 4 games, then I won like 2 games. But as for my usual stream, my normal thing would have been like win one game, lose 4 games, and then just stop streaming. I think I did stop, and then I played 2 more games with Quinn, and we won those both.
Yeah, I saw that you like were playing well like off stream. You were playing well on stream too. Like you actually had a couple good games at the beginning.
Except for your swing downhill. Game.
Oh yeah, no, I injured hard that game.
Quinn made sure to tell me about that when we played today.
Yeah, dude, I literally like missed every E and ate every bind.
Yeah,
everyone. It was terrible. Too. It made me want to stop playing for like a year.
And then you queued up again the very next game.
Yeah, and then we shit on that same AD carry. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah, he had a he so like it was the same AD carry and he was duoed with an Echo one trick, and like the Echo just camped bottom all fucking game both games. Mm-hmm. But the second time we just stomped them and it was great. And I was on the Yona, so I got to do the Yona things.
Nice.
But yeah, aside from that, a little bit of TFT, running it down even more in there. I think my last like four rankings are all eighths.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah, I really just am not good at the set right now. Particularly because like I think all of the comps most of the good comps you're supposed to start Bow, and I don't know what to do with Bow early, and like how to build into them. So I've just been playing like caster comps, either like Aurelion Soul Mages or Vanguard Mystics. Hasn't really been working out. I've also been like baiting myself a little bit, just playing troll shit that I know is troll. Like Darius is just a garbage unit right now, but I just want him to work. I want Space Jam back.
Mm. Yeah.
But Space Jam is not coming back. But that's pretty much been my whole week. Trying to stream a little bit more now that I'm back into playing ranked, and we'll try and keep doing that. Be the one out here taking away Aiden's viewers, even though he's a higher rank. But yeah, that's pretty well my entire week. Nick, how's solo queue been?
Solo queue's been pretty good, actually.
Compared to last season, I can only imagine.
Well, it turns out when I'm not in Smurf queue, I can actually climb. It's crazy. I have played a lot of League this past week. Just before the show, I promoted to Plat 2 6LP, so currently slaying out, still popping off. I mean, 39 and 22 right now, that's a lot of games, but I'm winning, you know, the vast majority of them. Still playing Innovia when I can. Been hopping on the Aiden hype train, and I gotta agree. I gotta agree with Aiden on this one.
One's playing him. No one's playing him.
I'll give you a hint, Colton. He is my pocket pick into Yone because I hate playing a Nivea into Yone.
Okay. So. Well, it's not Tom Kench, right?
It's Tom Kench. Tom Kench,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think he's fucking OP right now.
But. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I knew you were playing Tom Kench. I thought it was like something else. But no. That being said, like Tom Kench being on your radar is very different from being on like the general League of Legends.
I mean, anyone else's
radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, character's really strong. Very good with honestly any and all of the Immolate items, the Sunfire items. So real, real good. As for anything else, my girlfriend and I beat Castle Crashers. That was a fun game. Definitely worth it. Turns out because we only used one profile, didn't save a character, so I deleted my character after we tried to go to insane mode, but that's all right.
Nick,
what's up?
Whenever you play Castle Crashers, doesn't the game in the middle just feel really hard for no reason?
Yeah, crazy? Right at the fucking desert?
Yeah, it gets fucking hard.
I honestly, I don't think I ever beat the
ice boss,
like sand rooftop thing on insane mode. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I had like four. Dude, Castle Crashers on insane mode is fucking ridiculous. I was reading the wiki because we wanted to unlock all the animal orbs. I believe the way they do insane mode is that they literally just multiply everything by 10. So a character who has 50 HP then has 500 HP, which is wild. Because you're hitting for like 30 at endgame. So yeah, it was crazy. Really fun. I watched Catch Me If You Can this week. That was a fucking good movie.
For the first time?
For the first time.
I love that movie.
The movie
is so
real
good.
Real good. Yeah, so I think that's my week. So let's get into the show. First up, we've got a new patron. Thank you to Jacob for your patronage. And I suppose it's the first episode of the new month.
It is.
All right, let me get a sip of water and I'll
February. Get ready. Get your Josh's going, my dude.
Josh,
juice is flowing and your Josh's
thank you.
Paying money.
to Aaron, Aaron, Adam, a Darky Owl, Adrian, Adrian, sadly not Joshua, Antonio, Aodin, Armis, Ashley Asmo, Atsuko, Banyumi, Benjamin, Benjamin, Big Peen Sheen, Blooper, Boats and Bros, Bright Equinox, Brother Dust, Caleb, ZB Parker, Chaz, Chris, Chris, Clogwater, Coca-Cola, Corey, Courtney, Cowboy, Dowski, but actually an Alex, Dan, Daniel, Denny Stormit, Dante Boy, Dapper Dodge, David, Dessa, Devin, Devin, Dominic, Dr. Dre, 1, 2, 2, 3, probably shouldn't just say Dr. Dre, huh? Dr. Professor Gubert, Dream Villain, Jay, Dylan, Elliot, Elliot, Inebriated Otter, Eric, Evan, Fiery, Foxlo, Franco, Frozen Ninja, Gamer Wolf, Grey White, Heartstuck, Heimerdinger, One Trick, H Fire, Hungry Italian, I Am 3Dski, Ian, Isaac, It's In My Veins, Jacob, Jake, Jamal, Jeff, JFK Was Quickscoped, Jig Mink, Josh but Cody, Josh but not a Josh, 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 Joshua, Josh, Joshua, 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 Justin, Carson, Chaos Reaper, Keegan, Kennedy, Kevin, Kiptario, Kirk, Climber, Klon, Amy, Lacona, Levi, Leviathan, Lil Barnabas, Lil Lorian, Lofi, Luis, Lucas, Mark, Mark, Marshall, Marshall, Matt, Matthew, Michael, Misa, Mkefius, Molly, Mr. Ginger, Mr. Church, Mountain Drew, Nathan, Nikoj, Nicholas, Niku because it's meat in Japanese, Noah, Orden, Pards Bay, Purple Play Panda, Pikey Support, Raphael, Rattlesnake, Jake, Rebecca, Red Lefty, Ricardo, RJ, Ryan, Ryan, Scarecrow Jones, Scott, Secretly a Josh, Selfius, Shralpy the Gnar, Sodafish, Spartle, Speedy Spikes, Stew, T-Hubs, Tanner, The Last Samurai, Tune, Tuned Can, Ty, Victor, Womper, Wyatt, Zach, Zachary, and Zachary. Oh my, it gets harder every time.
You really just kind of went at it. What's wild to me is that there are so many Patreons, but like there are no 5-starries. Like they'll give us dollars, but not starries.
They probably already have, to be fair. Yeah. But we do need some starries, so leave us some.
Yeah, where the fuck are our starries?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, guys. I'm running out of starries, and if I don't have starries, I can't get LP. You can't
go to sleep if we don't read him a bedtime starry.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for your support. We appreciate it a bunch. Let's move on to the new news. So we've got two new sort of cinematics. The first one, Lunar Beast, was super cool. Featured all the characters from the new Lunar Beast skin line. Annie, Alistair, Fiora, Jarvan, Darius.
And Josh, not the Josh, Josh.
I wish.
That champion's my favorite.
But it looked really good. It was cute. It was fun. Definitely worth checking out. The Shanghai Scroll skin teaser trailer was also there, made Nico actually look overpowered, so maybe that's in Riot's balancing future.
It's crazy how many cinematics they put out is like the main thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like do you ever think about that? They put out cinematics for like skin lines now.
Yeah, like, I mean, they just dropped two in one patch. Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
I also thought it was really funny that like the skins for Shanghai, like, we're already in TFT a couple weeks ago.
Oh, interesting.
Right, like the Nautilus, Nico, and Cho'Gath models in TFT are that skin line because they're the Fabled.
Interesting, that's cool.
Yeah, and I was just like, wait, Nico, Cho'Gath, and Nautilus are Fabled? What's that about? I don't remember a Fabled Cho'Gath.
Interesting.
And then now it comes out. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Moving on, we have patch 11.3, which as of recording is not live, so let's go through that real quick. Let me scroll to the top. We have some nerfs for champions right off the bat. This one's gonna hit me hard, boys. Anivia, the Q detonation damage is down, and the AP ratio has been lowered, and her ultimate has a slightly increased cooldown later in the game. I don't think it's anything like super game breaking. I still think she's gonna be overpowered, but
yeah, she still seems right really away. Strong, even, like, so what, it takes away 20 damage off her combo level, like, 1 through 5?
Yeah.
Off a perfect combo, I should say, and and like, 10 off of an average combo.
Which is an extra auto, you know?
Yeah. So. Not terrible.
Not terrible.
Cho'Gath, his base damage on his E has been decreased.
It's interesting. I don't think I've seen a Cho'Gath outside of me playing Cho'Gath.
I've played a little bit, and I played against a mid lane Cho'Gath one trick that went like chem tank, and just like rushed in and ulted me. It was so fucking annoying.
Chem Tank Cho'Gath is really good.
Like Chem Tank plus like Electrocute, or maybe he went Comet, and just every time he queued me, it did a quarter of my health.
Oh, is that your Nivea game?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got shit on by that Cho'Gath.
That guy was so fucking annoying. We won that game though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Cool.
I don't
cool.
win many games.
Elise is getting her Q base damage and decreased, and her W active attack speed decreased. I don't know if Elise needs nerfs. Like, I've seen her a couple times, she's always done well, but I feel like it's always just been like an insane Elise player, like piloting her. So
that's what it always feels like, I guess. But that's okay.
I think it's just because she's a bit of a win more, and like,
yeah,
especially if you go like the Conqueror build with the Omnivamp, like. You go crazy sometimes if you
Interesting. Ezreal, Q damage ratio has been increased. Cool.
Yeah. Ivern, base health growth decreased. E shield decreased.
Ooh,
couple
nerfs,
to the tree.
Yeah.
Cool. Jinx is getting a lot of buffs here, I think. Okay, I think they're buffs overall. Base health decreased, Q bonus range increased, Fishbone's bonus attack speed penalty decreased, E cost increased, arm time decreased, max range cast adjusted. So that's overall like a lot of buffs, right? The damage fall, the attack speed fall off from her Q is like huge. The extra range is huge. And then like her Chomper's getting extra mana and taking less time to arm, like, but taking less time to arm is like a huge, I think like a, overall a huge buff. Like you don't really need the mana.
Yeah. Okay. So all in all, she gets 25 more range, but a good amount, but more attack speed or less attack speed fall off when she goes into the rocket or the Fishbones. So she gets a couple more attacks that longer range. She did lose 60 base health, which
is
significant.
That's kind of what I wanted to talk about. And so Jinx is obviously not doing well, and then they give her a compensation nerf for the buff she's receiving. I don't know.
Yeah. And so, like, okay, the E, I definitely, like, that's just a buff that they arm a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. And then the adjustment to the range isn't actually an adjustment. It's just whether or not you cast it as is or you walk and then cast it. I feel like this is a pretty net zero, honestly. I mean, not that it's the net zero, but it's a pretty small buff.
I mean, the Q buff is really nice. It's just losing almost 10% of your entire, you know, health bar at level one is really, really hard.
Yeah. That being said, she had way too much health at level one for no reason.
I was gonna say what's the other AD carry's like base health? Like I have no idea. Like I don't have a single idea.
I think that hers was pretty well the highest. Because I know that there were plenty of like when the like sneaky video went around and was like, get Cole and instead of going coup de gras, go cut down. And like Nick or Quinn was like, hey, why didn't you go cut down on Jinx because you started Cole? And I'm like, I still have more health than the Doran's Blade AD carry.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Fair enough.
Cool.
Karma. Base mana regen increased, Q cost decreased, so she can spam her spells more.
Ooh. Yeah.
She got her damage back. No?
Mordekaiser, his E cooldown has been decreased. 2 seconds at all ranks. Nice.
Nice. Olaf's getting some pretty big nerfs this patch. Base health is decreased, his passive bonus attack speed is decreased, and now displays the number of attack speed on the passive icon. Losing Ice is only, what, 20 health? But the passive is, like, a pretty big nerf, I think. Like, losing 25% on that when you're, like, super low HP. Because that's how you clear jungle, like, really, really fast, is, like, you stay low.
Yeah. It still doesn't seem like it's that big of enough of a nerf for a character who is, like, literally dominating the jungle right now, but...
I feel like there's like a couple like really really strong junglers though. I feel like Olaf's insane. I feel like Viego's insane. I feel like Hecarim fucking just 1v9's games.
True.
There's like a couple of those.
Fair enough.
He's definitely
one. Should I be playing Hecarim right now? What do you build?
I think Hecarim's crazy, man.
I think you usually build Divine Sunderer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Divine Sunderer. Yeah.
Maybe all right, Trinity.
Cool. I'll see you in Diamond. up next, we have Pantheon, another character that's pretty oppressive when he is. Okay, what do we get for him? His Q now has decreased damage against minions and monsters, and the cooldown has gone up in the early game. It's weird how he was just oppressively good for like the first 15 minutes.
But I also feel like this is pretty nothing for Pantheon outside of the jungle, who's also still very strong. I mean, 3 seconds at level one is a lot, but then it scales down to nothing, you know, no changes.
It just, he's like a character that just like demos the first 15 minutes of the game, and game times on average are like 24 minutes or something like that. So like that's problematic. So it's good. Rammus is getting his E cooldown flattened, which is probably good, I think.
Wow, Rammus nerfs.
Yeah, I mean, he is very strong right now, I think.
Some rel changes. Let's see. W1 and W2 damage ratios are increased. The E damage ratio is increased. The unbind cooldown is decreased. The cooldown, there's a cooldown bug that was fixed, and a long distance pathing bug fixed, and the R damage ratio is good. So she's getting some AP ratios.
Cool. Yeah, all in all, okay. Like just, she got a bunch more AP ratios.
Okay. For a character who builds full tank.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's the Riot method, is you take somebody who doesn't build AP and you give them more AP ratios. True. Look at Twitch.
Can't wait
look
for AP Sion. Rel, look AP at Shyvana. Twitch.
Yeah. I want the team comp of AP Twitch, AP Rel, AP Sion, and AP Shyvana.
Yeah.
And full AP Skarner, I think that's a thing right now, right?
I have no clue.
I don't know. I saw a video of a Skarner like EQing like for somebody's entire health bar, and I had to imagine it was AP.
Probably then.
So gross.
Riven buff. What? It took 2 second cooldown off of her E. Now she, instead of having a dash up every 0.8 seconds, has one up every 0.7 seconds. It's weird how they just gave her more mobility for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough. Seraphine, her passive base note damage is being decreased, and her shield is being decreased as well. I think those are good
nerf her ultimate.
Yeah, her ult is the best part about her kit, though. So.
I don't think there's anything else about the character that's worthwhile. But
yeah.
Shyvana, Q-empowered basic attack damage and second strike bonus damage has been increased. The W bonus movement speed has been increased. And it scales with AP.
The actual flat amounts haven't changed. It's just they've added AP ratios to the Q and the W.
That's good.
So the W, the AP ratio just makes you run faster. The Q, it is bonus damage.
Cool.
This gave AP ratios to everything.
Woo!
Pug, pug,
and
pug.
Another AP ratio singed. His Q damage ratio is up.
That's a
AP
lot
singed
of...
is better.
Is that, was it gone from 80 or is that 60? I think it's
80.
Okay, it's not that big of a buff. 90, then,
yeah. I don't know, man. Giving singed more damage, like specifically as poison. Oh, that's so scary. I don't know.
No, they're gonna buff the damage on his W.
Sylas, Q cost flatten, W damage is increased, so some Sylas buffs.
Hell yeah. Talia, what do you guys think about Talia before I'll just go through it first.
I think
passive
really
bonus
strong.
Movement speed is increased, Q subsequent stone damage against monsters decreased. So is this a nerf for the jungle?
Yeah,
the buff passive buff Q nerf.
It just,
I think
it makes her weaker at power farming, and they compensated by making her get more movement speed for ganking.
Yeah. That's fair. I feel like she's a character that if you're insane at her, she just solo carries games though.
Yeah, because she's just everywhere all the time, and she walks up hundreds to zeros you, like dips back in her jungle, clears a camp, and is back.
Yeah.
Nick, your favorite character.
Here we go.
Tell me about him.
Here we go. Yeah, let me tell you about a character who has been meta for one patch. Udyr, the ultimate. His Phoenix total base active aura damage is decreased later. It's not a big. It's not a big nerf.
No,
granted.
It's like nothing. But
it's just
Udyr
crazy.
Is so fucking annoying, though, man. He's the other one I put in those top four, by the way. I just hate when he runs through everyone to the AD carry and just beats them up.
Yeah.
Were either of you watching the game that Quinn and I played Zillion Senna bot and we had the Udyr?
Yeah, you fucking broke his legs.
Dude, he was going so... No, the one when we had the Udyr on our team.
Oh, I didn't watch that one, no.
Yeah, he had, like, chem tank and, like, all the items, and I was just zooming him in, It was so funny.
That's funny.
Because, like, he would run in at 900 movement speed. There, Elise would throw E. He would, like, dip back and then go right back in with Kim Tank.
It's just surprising to me that, like, a character who is seeing prominence in professional play now versus, like, Hecarim, Olaf, those characters who have been dominant in the professional meta for a while. Like, I don't know. It's crazy. Oh, well.
Yeah. And lastly, Vladimir, our cooldown is now flat, which means 30 seconds off it at rank 1, 15 seconds off it at a level 11, and at 16, it's still the same cooldown.
The big buff.
So let's take the hyperscaling mage with, like, near infinite late game power, who doesn't even have a weak laning phase and isn't punishable. And let's just make his early game better, too. I fucking hate Vladimir so much.
So his his level 1 ult isn't very strong, but I could easily see it now being used as a wave clear in, like, bad lanes. You just fucking ult the wave, E it, and then you're just leave lane. Because it's 30 seconds off. Like, that's huge. That's a big buff.
That's pretty big, yeah.
He's just not weak enough early, I don't think, for how stupidly strong he is.
Mm-hmm. He's stupid.
He has way too much free sustain. Like, he out heals, like, when, I don't know, like, when I play, like, Orianna into it, and I'm, like, hitting him with QW autos, and he just, like, Qs two minions and gets all of his health back every time.
I think his Q, Crimson Rush Q, should only heal for additional against champions, like, if you hit it.
That'd be cool. Like that.
Fuck Vlad.
Let's go on to the items. I don't think we have to talk about, like, a lot about these, but, like, just basic overview. Like, they're buffing Lich Bane. They're buffing Horizon Focus.
Sorry, Lich Bane nerfed.
I thought that said 90. Dude, those numbers are so hard to read in the striker. That's crazy.
Yeah, because they cross it out.
Yeah. Lich Bane's getting nerfed. Horizon Focus getting buffed. I think Horizon Focus definitely needed buffs. So that item was pretty bad overall. Yeah. Verdant Barrier. I don't even know what this item is.
That builds into Banshees. It's the component.
It's the magic resist version of Seeker's Armguard.
It is. The current iteration is dog shit. Every 1 minute you gain 3 bonus MR, stacking up to 5 times. But if you take magic damage, it reduces the time it takes to gain MR, and it's by a percentage of the damage that you take.
Okay, and so now it's going to be a stacking item, kind of like Seekers.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. I like that a lot. That's good.
Much better.
Banshees is getting a buff to it. I guess the combined cost is a bit of a nerf, but, like, the AP buff by 15 is big.
That's pretty big, yeah.
And then Seekers is getting a nerf. It's going to be costing 100 more gold. The combined cost is 100 more gold as well. It's still probably 140% gold efficient, though, at max stacks. Yeah. That was stupid. So still build it. And then Zhonya is also getting 100 gold nerf. So that's probably needed. I think that's good.
Yep.
Yeah, and for the Banshees thing, so they gave it 15 more AP. And I think the total cost is only up by 100 because the component went down in price, and so they just moved that cost into the final combine. So you can get the barrier early, just like you can do a Seekers, and then go into your regular build.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So they just made it more equivalent of the, like, hey, here's a cheap component that you can build into something really good later, but it'll get you some magic resist for now.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Enchanter items. See, looks like some nerfs. A nerf to Staff of Flowing Water, very small, just 10 AP. And the Chemtech Putrefier has 5 more ability haste. And now when you heal or shield an allied champion, their next damage inflicts grievous wounds. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's so good.
And it stacks with Staff of Flowing Water and, what's the other item? Moonstone.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing, yeah. So, like, with Moonstone, then it's just, you just gave Grievous Wounds to your entire team.
So, yeah, I really feel like it should say, when you heal or shield an ally with your abilities, so to specifically exclude, Moonstone Renewer heals, because that's insane.
Yeah, I feel... it's wild that you can get that and give your entire team Grievous Wounds at 60%.
Yeah.
I mean, good. So I do like the option, though, now, because you obviously go Moonstone, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have the option of going Staff of Flowing Water to have like the haste slash ability power thing, or you go Chem Tank Putrefy Fire and like have Grievous Wounds on everyone. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
That being said, I'm also kind of fine with them, or I'm more okay with them giving this item to supports. Right, like if you're gonna give anyone the OP passive of give your whole team Grievous Wounds, at least like limit it to supports. But I would not be surprised if we saw like Karma mids abusing this shit.
I mean, probably. I imagine Seraphine mid is probably going to probably gonna take it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Moving on to fighter items, Silvermere Dawn is getting a buff. That is the fighter item of QSS. And Iron Spike Whip is no longer dealing extra damage to low health minions and monsters. So you can't wave clear with that item efficiently anymore.
Hey, 80 carry items. Uh-oh.
Yeah, so Phantom Dancer has a different build path. It gives a little bit of AD now and reduced attack speed. You need less attacks for the bonus attack speed, and the bonus attack speed is down. But a nice change. Mortal Shield Bow is getting a buff. It's getting plus 5 AD and plus 20 or plus 5% attack speed. Nice, nice, nice. And Lord Dominic's Regards is getting plus 10% armor pen. Pog.
That's kind of big, right?
Yeah. Like, that is kind of big, yeah. It definitely makes Shield Bow a lot better. And it makes Phantom Dancer actually an attractive item for most characters, I think.
Yeah, this is, I think, really big, actually. The idea that you can get now your 80 mythic, which is going to give like attack damage, crit, and probably a little bit attack speed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like Phantom Dancer, you're also going to get more attack speed and crit and damage. And so like you'll have, you know, 1.5 damage items as well as like then 2 attack speed items. Like you hit that power point a little bit better. Whereas, cool, like if I just have, let's say, my, you know, my mythic and then 2 full attack speed items, I don't do any damage even if I am hitting them a bunch and critting.
Yeah,
like that 20 AD is actually huge.
It's pretty nice,
I think. Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited to do that. I think I'm gonna play some Varus. Played the game of him, it was real fun.
Ooh, you could bust out the Jinx
maybe. Oh wait, yeah, some Jinx we love.
True.
They're making some changes to sustain
thank
items.
God.
Gore Drinker Heal is down from 12% missing health to 8%. Not up to 80 like the typo said, mm-hmm. If you guys remember that from our Discord.
Yeah.
I would have quit the game for 2 weeks. I refuse to play it if that change goes on.
Leeching Leer is the Omnivamp item. It's down from 10 to 5, and they compensated by giving it 100 more health. Riftmaker's Omnivamp is down from 15 to 8, and again, they gave that health to compensate. They also gave the Mythic passive additional Omnivamp, so you can still get up to those really high numbers, but it's going to be based on how many legendary items you have.
So they've changed the Mythic item, the Mythic passive from Magic Pen to flat AP plus Omnivamp.
Yeah.
So real nice.
Eclipse, the shield value has gone up and the Omnivamp has gone down. Hydra Omnivamp is down from 15 to 10. Steric's Gauge Lifeline Shield is smaller. And the shield duration is down as well.
Yeah, moving on to tank items. Force of Nature is getting buffed. Dead Man's Plate is getting nerfed a little bit. And Frozen Heart is getting buffed. We have another clash starting, let's say, Monday. Wait. Oh, the clash will start officially in patch 11.4, but you can sign up Monday, February 15th. All Random Earth is back. So you can check out what that means.
For 2 days before everyone starts tryharding it.
Yeah. And then there is some bug fixes and quality of life changes, as well as several new skins. Lunar Beast Fiora, Viego, Annie, Darius, Alistair, Jarvan, Aphelios, who I did not see in the cinematic, and then Fiora has a prestige edition skin for her Lunar Beast, and then Crystal Rose Zyra in Swain and Withered Rose Syndra in Talon. The Swain skin looks super good. Very excited for that one.
Yeah, I think the Lunar Beast skins are like kind of weak overall. But I really like the crystal and withered rose skins. They're insane.
Some of them I think look really good, but then I'm not a big fan of the Annie one, for instance. But that's okay. And then we've got chromas for Viego, Darius, Alistair, Jarvan, Fiora, Aphelios, Annie, Syndra, Talon, Swain, and Zyra. I guess every one of those then.
Yeah, it looks like all of those skins are coming out with a decent line of chromas as well.
Yeah, and that is patch 11.3, which should come out pretty soon by the time you're hearing this, if it's not already out. Let's move on to the... Oh, you want to talk about your character, Aiden?
Yeah, I want to talk about my character a little bit.
Your favorite catfish?
My favorite catfish, it's Tom Kench. So I went on a mission because I got bored with support, and I decided, hey, I want to play again. I want to play League of Legends the way I want to play League of Legends. And that way, when I most enjoyed the game, was playing Tom Kench top. And guess what? No one plays that character. Literally, well, not literally no one. But if you go to op.gg, you can't find builds, or like you can't even search data because there's not enough people who play it to... parse data. So I started researching. I started looking up challenger videos on YouTube. I started looking up top Tom Kenches on every server, and I realized that there is players who play him and that are doing well with him. There is a player on the TR server who's challenger 600.2 mains him. There's a Korean guy who's diamond 1 who mains him. There's a guy on UNE who's diamond 2 who mains him. Like, and there's a guy on EU West who's master tier who mains him. And so I kind of like looked at their builds and realized every single one of them is doing different things. So to me, first of all, that's confusing, I guess. But second of all, that means to me, the character's probably broken. If four different people can do four different things and have it all work for them, it means there's something there. So if we like go through the stuff for him, for example, even just like abilities. So normally you max Q on Tom Kench and then W then E. The number one player, the 600 point challenger player, maxes E second on him every game.
Yeah, so I was looking at that. The only thing that goes up with your E is what, percentage conversion gray health?
Yeah, it goes up to 70% from 45.
From 45, yeah.
But still, it's like that's very interesting because no one else does that, right? He does that alone. If we look at summoner spells. One of them goes Flash Ignite every game, one of them goes Flash TP every game, one of them goes Ghost Flash every game, and one of them goes Flash Ignite. Did I say Flash Ignite?
Either way.
They all go different things. I've kind of settled on going Flash TP every game. I think it's the most consistent one. There are probably lanes that I'll learn in which Flash Ignite might be better, but the guy going Ghost Flash, I don't think he's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just a different way to play the character. So it's very versatile in that. If we look at keystones, everyone goes grasp. That's the one agreed upon thing. But the trees we go are completely different. Everyone goes the same three things in the domination tree. Or sorry, the domination. What's that tree called? The
resolve.
Resolve tree, yeah, the green resolve. One. Yeah, everyone goes the exact same three things. There definitely are the best overall. You go demolish, second wind, and unflinching. I guess the one different thing is one person goes conditioning, but I don't think conditioning is very good. I feel like it's a pretty bad rune overall. And then for secondary tree, you can decide between the inspiration tree or precision tree. I personally go precision and I take alacrity. No one takes alacrity other than me, but I do think the attack speed is super, super important. Attack speed is just insane. Like, Nick's been building Berserkeries on the character because attack speed feels really, really good on Tom Kench.
Just that small amount feels insane.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been going Triumph and Alacrity. I might mess around with it because I don't think Triumph's a very good rune, but I'm not sure what else I would go there. But once again, if you're going to go down Inspiration Tree, you have lots of options, I think. If you want to start Corrupting Potion, you take Time Warp Tonic. If you're trading a lot with your W in lane, it's kind of your mana like consuming ability, you take Biscuits. If you just like think you can survive lane without anything, you go Magical Footwear, because 10 movement speed on a melee character like Tom Kench is very, very important. And then obviously Approach Velocity is insane on him. When you hit a Q, you get to move faster.
I would always go like Shoes, Approach Velocity, and just hope that I don't end lane.
Yeah, it's just cool that there's like four or five good options in that tree, and you can kind of decide between them based on matchups, whatever. So it's definitely like a lot of fun that you can have doing that. As for build, build is even like a crazy thing. I actually had to make a build in the league client. I didn't even know you could still do that. I had to figure out how to. You can still make builds that show up in your store.
Yeah, you can. Nobody uses that tool. They're probably there's probably like a small percentage of players who use it all the time and love it.
And it's great. You can export them and you get a file and you can import that to other accounts and stuff like that. It's really, really useful. So I kind of made mine having my mythics that I'm choosing between, which is Sunfire, which Nick and I have talked a little bit about. We both think Sunfire is probably the best tank mythic. The one downside of it being the fact that it costs 400 more gold than Chemtech or Frost. What's the other one called? Frostfire, I think.
It's Frostfire Gauntlet.
Yeah. Yeah. But all three of them are good options. Frostfire is a little bit... I'd say Frostfire is probably the weakest of them. I think you only go Frostfire if you're playing a low econ game and you need to just finish your tank mythic. Because 400 gold is a lot of gold in a low econ game. But Sunfire is definitely priority. But Chemtank is insane. Chasing down people on Tom Kench is super, super important. Especially when there's so much mobility in the game.
Yeah.
One of the first games I played as Tom Kench, I played against a Lucian. There's a Lucian in the game. And I chased him down. He dashes away from me. Autos me. W's me. Autos me. Uses flash. Autos me. Dashes. I'm still chasing him this entire time. And then Gale forces away. I'm like, what the fuck is this? why can an AD carry do that? So I think Chemtank's very, very useful in certain games where you need to chase people down and stuff. Especially when you're winning. When you're winning, it's really good as well. But after that, you just go into basic tank items. I pick up Bramble Vest almost every single game. I feel like there's so much healing in League of Legends that just going Bramble as an 800 gold item, it feels not bad at all to pick up. For boots, you can go pretty well... any of the major boots. You can go not tabby, what are they called now? Steel caps. You can go steel caps, you can go magic resist boots, you can go alacrity boots if you're not taking attack speed in your runes, or you can go swifties. Swifties are the boot that's taken by the best Tom Kench player currently. But all of them are really good options. You just have to decide based on matchups and stuff like that. And then later into the game, once again, the games aren't very long currently. You can finish up items like Thornmail. You can go into items like Deadman's. Deadman's is getting nerfed next patch. If you need magic resist, you go Force of Nature usually or Spirit Visage.
No, you go Wit's End, baby.
Wit's End, if you're smashing and they have magic damage, is really good as an off tank item. It's so funny. In my build, I have mythics, armor items, magic resist items, and at the bottom I have health items. It says yuck, don't build, and it has just Warmogs, which I still have not built out of my 30 games I've played, because Warmogs is rough to build right now.
Yuck, don't build.
Yeah, it's good though. I really think he's strong right now. You kind of win every lane, except for little cheese things like Rengar top is impossible for you. Alawi's really annoying. But overall, it's really, really good. I would recommend people pick it up. I've always been a fan of the character. It's just fun, first blooding your lane in, high diamond games, because they don't know your damage. It is a mix of, him being too strong early and people not knowing how the support character functions top lane.
Yeah, his passive adds so much unseen, damage that you don't even consider,
And CSing's so easy, Nick.
It's so easy. Yeah.
Because you have your 60 base damage plus your 27, I think, from your passive at level 1, plus the 5 from Doran's Shield. It's how do you miss CS play?
Exactly. It's crazy.
Watch my stream and find out.
Yeah. I'd recommend it, though. It's fun to pick up. You do have to know your damage output a little bit. Messing with shield is always hard. Your shield is probably the most skillful ability. Actually, other than your ult, is the most skillful ability. And then, once again, even late game, your W is still fucking the best tool.
Yeah.
Almost
you're making me really want to play it. Because, I have enjoyed Tom Kench in small bits. More top lane ever than support. And...
honestly, Colton, he probably could see play in the jungle as well. All things considered.
I mean, you know me. I queue Phil. I'll get top lane eventually.
But it sounds dumb, but I think his best role goes top, jungle, support, and then mid. I think support's his third best role now. He's so fucking good top.
Yeah. Pick him into, maybe not the most abusive early game melee champions, but, you know, any melee champion you don't want to play against, play a ranged champion against and fucking feast on him.
Yeah, it's great. Really would recommend. He's so much fun to play. Like, I haven't had this much fun playing League in a while. Because, yes, playing Shen does more for my team and stuff, but holy fuck is not losing lane fun.
Yeah.
Like, I can get, I've lost lane one game out of, like, however many I've played. Like, it's so much fun.
Also, don't bring him into
Kingdom
Diego.
is an addictive drug.
Actually, I've lost two. Like, my first game I lost was against a Viego who I had no idea how that fucking character works, which we'll talk about probably next week. Because I'm not sure if you guys have played as Viego.
I've played one game of him and he seems insanely strong.
His alt seems bonkers, but the rest of his kit seems very average, I think, in my opinion. Anyways, that's Tahm Kench. Play him, because I'm going to hit Diamond playing him, and maybe even more, maybe even higher.
Let's talk about the lock-in tournament. Did you guys watch any of it? The finals happened this past week. Spoiler, TL 3-2'd Cloud9.
Almost a reverse sweep, but
shut it down, though. My big takeaways, boy, Fudge got fucking smurfed on by Alfari.
Yeah.
Boy, that was a top diff. That was not a good game. And then Core JJ is by far the best player in NA, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Like, and that's Vulcan, Vulcan's insane. Like,
Vulcan was
insane
great. Player. Yeah.
But Core JJ is so good.
Yep. His engages, that Blitzcrank hook, was that this week? That Blitzcrank hook onto...
Don't remember.
Fuck, he... Yeah, I think it was this week. I'm pretty sure, like, they set up the back wave for Kai'Sa Q to last hit the ranged minions. And as that happened, he shot a Blitzcrank Q and, hooked the AD carry at like level 4 or whatever, got a kill. The guy is just insane. He sees things like that other players just don't 6 years before they do see him.
Yeah.
So, super good. TL looks far and away like the best team in the league. They only dropped games to Cloud9 in the finals. And even the games that they did drop to Cloud9, they were pretty close. It wasn't like Cloud9 smashed those games, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
That was an entertaining series. I will say the rest of it was pretty boring, but just my opinion. Cool. Good. Let's move into the roundtable.
Yeah, cool. Last week's question was the TFT unit question, like getting your main as a 5-cost unit in TFT. From Twitter, we got one from Womper. He says, Syndra would just pick up a unit and throw them at their team, dealing damage. Her passive could be like her passive in the game, where she gets like a bonus effect at max rank. That would make it so she could throw 3 units. With her pre-rework W being able to pick up 3 orbs. Phil Alexander said Heimer, he'd have 3 turrets with short range and an alt that would make one of them bigger with 3 large shots. Colton, I would definitely see Heimer in the game probably next set, just because we've seen Azir now with his like soldiers now, like, and them now making like movable equipment and shit. I could easily see a Heimer type character.
I would not be surprised at all.
It makes sense. You definitely see like mechanics being built upon, at least. And then one from Alex, and he says, Pantheon, probably his R and just slap AP items on for massive rolls across the board. I thought it was funny because like that was what Pantheon did in the game, and it was fucking gross, and it made everyone sad when that was first set, I think, in the game.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Get Pantheon out of here.
And then from our Facebook, we got one from Noah. He says, Tryndamere, level 1 after killing 2 units does not die for 5 seconds. Level 2 after killing 1 unit does not die for 5 seconds. And level 3 does not die. I brought this one up, Colton, because do you think there's a way for them to make a unit like Tryndamere, say he's a 5 cost, where he just doesn't die, but you lose when the rest of your units are dead or something like that?
Like, you could definitely make it where like Undying Rage would be like cannot drop below 1 HP while another unit is alive.
That'd be cool too, yeah.
You could absolutely
I think you'd have to do something with like targeting, right? Because if the unit doesn't die but every single unit is focusing them, that means he's like the rest of the team is invulnerable, right?
It depends.
But I mean, most units have, or I'd say most, all like there aren't any comps where you don't have either an ability that like hits multiple or targets randomly or targets something other than that. Like there are things that target like the most enemies it could hit, or like the highest attack speed, or the lowest current health, or the furthest away. Like there are so many targeting factors that I don't think there'd ever be a point where your entire team was sitting there hitting Tryndamere and other units weren't taking damage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we got a couple from Discord that I thought were really, really good. One's out from Speedy Spikes. He says Warwick, he's a Divine Slayer Blood Hunter. His ability is Warwick leaps onto the lowest health enemy, slashes them three times, dealing 4, 10, 25% target max HP and dealing and healing for the same amount. If the ability kills, Warwick briefly fears surrounding enemies. Blood Hunter is Blood Hunters gain increased movement speed and attack speed once the enemy loses 50% total team health, like an anti-cultist trait. I think that's a really, really cool idea. I love when like units kill with an ability, then they have like something else. I think that's really, really unique. Ordin says, I don't tend to main champs, but I'd love to see Jax added as a 5 cost. Give him a cool passive where his autos do percentage max health for each item he's been given, because he's gotten a real weapon. And as he levels, it just gets crazier. I think that's fun. You just throw a bunch of items on Jax so he doesn't like a lot of damage. Clover said, Lissandra, Mystic Siphoner, new special trait for to Lissandra only, Frozen Touch. So her ability is Frozen Tomb. Lissandra freezes one enemy. The ice surrounds the enemy and does damage to other enemies for 200 damage per second. Original freeze does 500. Frozen Touch enemies that Lissandra kills or die to the effect of Frozen Tome become Ice Walkers, who auto-attack other enemies and explode after 5 seconds. Frozen Touch does not apply to Siphoners. Explosions deals 100 plus 20% of missing health. I really do like the idea of like, summoning like zombie-type creatures when you kill stuff. It's cool. And last but not least, it's a long one, but it's from the Jiggle Fat from our Discord, and he says, Alawi, origin is Krakenus, class is Siphoner, mana is 090. The Krakenus deploys 2, 3, 7 tentacles that can be moved around the map. Every 10 seconds, another tentacle spawns randomly on the map. Every 3 auto attacks, the Krakenus causes all tentacles to slam in the direction of her target, dealing damage to all enemy units. Tentacles would have a range of 3 hexagons. Damage is equal to 75, 100%, 200% of the Krakenus' total attack damage. Leap of Faith, Alawi slams her idol into the ground, dealing damage to all units within 1 hex of her. For each enemy unit hit with a tentacle, a tentacle temporarily spawns on the map. These tentacles last for 8 seconds, during which they will slam towards Alawi's target every 3 autos for the duration of Leap of Faith. All tentacles will heal Alawi for 1% of her maximum health per unit struck. I really like the idea of like deploying like tentacles and stuff like that. I love that now they've added that Azir thing and the dummies, that they're gonna add more stuff like that. It allows so many cool options.
Yeah, and I really like it in terms of like positioning against certain comps and players. Like you had sent me a video of how you like swapped out your Morgana for another Lee Sin because you knew that their Katarina was just gonna dive your backline.
Yeah.
And you instantly booted her off the map, and it's just like, outplaying somebody like that who didn't build QSS on the Kata, it's like you deserve that fucking loss, dude.
Yeah, yeah. The game has like cool strategy like that. I wish there was a little bit more of it sometimes, but
yeah. And that's the thing, is like there are a lot of other positioning things that are a lot harder to figure out because like of the weird ass targeting and movement rules, where like I don't know a lot of them, and I'll see like, you know, challenger players like, what the fuck, why are they positioning like that? And you watch the fight and you're like, oh, okay. As well as like certain things you can do, especially with the Azir, where you just run like 2 Azir 1 so you can have 4 soldiers and like box in your carry.
Yeah. It's like the remember like in the do you play the set with Blitzcrank, Colton, or no?
Yeah, Blitzcrank, yeah, it was in set 3.
Remember the meta where you'd put your carry in the court and the 2 Blitzcranks around them so they couldn't move because Blitzcrank would immediately hook at the beginning of the map?
Yeah.
It's like, I love shit like that. That's cool. That's like cool.
Or they're like constantly having to shift your carry because of Blitzcranks and look for Blitzcranks and Zephyrs. I'm glad that I don't have to scout for Zephyrs and Shrouds as much anymore. Because like at the end of 3 into 3.5, particularly Shroud was really common because like Star Guardians were so good. But, man, it was so fucking annoying having to constantly move your stuff around because of, like, Zephyrs and Shrouds.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's this week's question?
This week's roundtable question is, what is the best splash art in the game?
I still gotta say Lunar Goddess Diana. I don't think my answer's changed since then. It's just so good. I think it fits her character perfectly.
I really don't have an answer. I'm gonna look at that one, but
mine is between Spirit Blossom, Yone, or Yasuo. I think they're two of my favorite skins that Riot's released a long time, and I think their splash arts are some of the best in the game for sure.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about Spirit Blossom Cassiopeia. That one's good. I think that was my favorite from that set.
Man, that whole set's like insane. That's like really, really good. Really
yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Colton? You gotta pick quick.
I really don't have one. So
this is Kenny Kingzillion.
I'm gonna go with a meme and say Hazmat Heimerdinger because it's terrible.
Nice. Yeah. I don't think it's that bad.
It's not awful, I don't think.
Yeah, it's not great, though.
It's not the best. Cool. Answer your roundtable at... Sorry.
You can send your answers to the roundtable at our Twitter or our Facebook. That's at LeagueCast. Send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That's leaguecastpodcast.com/Discord.
All right. Let's move into Mail Fight. Our first email is from Cody, who says, "Hey, y'all. So I just listened to the last episode and wanted to touch on why I buy Night Harvester as opposed to what most Nico players buy for a Mythic Hexec Rocket Belt. It honestly just comes down to personal preference, as I despise using active items. So even Zonya's took a while for me to accept as a very necessary part of Nico's build, even before Season 11. I will say Rocket Belt is probably better for Nico than Night Harvester, and I know for a fact there are times where I've missed my R, but if I had Rocket Belt, I would have hit it. I'm easily overwhelmed when making decisions in games and needing to think about hitting two of my number keys on top of my QWER keys stresses me out, and I'll most likely forget to use it. Happens fairly often with Zonya's. I also prefer Chemtech Putrefier over Melanomicon because I feel like I can confirm they're at the 60% Grievous Wounds to myself more consistently rather than hoping they are about to be under 50%. But what you said about most burst healing happening when someone is at 50% or lower holds true. Well, hey, an easy fix for you, Chemtech Putrefier is a different item now. Okay, so now that that is out of the way, I have a question about stress related to champion-specific playstyles. I played an ARAM and got Samira and was having fun until I got my ultimate. I could feel my heartbeat faster and my hands started shaking because of the adrenaline pumping through my veins that I had nothing to use for. Because of that, I played worse and worse as the game went on. I was extremely stressed trying to play this champion, and when the game was over, I got off for the night because I felt exhausted after that. So I have a question. Are there any champions you avoid playing because they stress you out? For me, it's seemingly Samira in AD Assassin. Something about how fast they play screws with me, so I avoid them like the plague. This one was supposed to be short, but even my follow-up wasn't. So I'm sorry about that. Have a good one, Deuterinos, Cody. I don't think so. They're like mechanically, and I'll say Azir. I don't know how the fuck that character does damage. It makes zero sense to me.
Like there are definitely characters that I don't play just because I'm like bad at them and don't get them, but I would say as an overall answer to this question, it's like not really, like there's not any characters that I avoid because of it, but there are definitely times when it's like I want to play a character that I don't really need to think that much,
and you know, it's Zillion.
Zillion isn't a mechanically very intensive character. Yeah. And like I'll play a lot of like Sion Galio mid where it's just like I don't really have to worry about much. I just like clear the wave and roam. Mm-hmm. And then there are other times where it's like, fuck it, I want to play Master Yi and click a lot of buttons really fast.
Yeah,
or I want to play like Kalista or Katarina where I'm just like doing a million things at once. Mm-hmm. And there are other times where I'm just like, you know, I'd rather just play Sion and go Q, boop, and that's my combo. And I'm done.
I hate Sion players.
Speaking of which, those sort of abilities, I experienced it today with Galio. My brain cannot figure out how the fuck the ability charges when you hold it down and when you release it, it releases. My tiny brain could not, like, it just doesn't work. For Sion Q, for Galio W, like, I have to normal cast those.
You just hold them down.
Yeah, and then it doesn't make sense to me.
But you're not...
I'll just press it. Oh, I activated it. Gotta remember, I gotta hold it down.
You don't have to do anything else during it. Like, I understand, like Vlad and stuff, where you can use other abilities during it, but, like...
Nah, my brain doesn't work.
You can reactivate
like
your
that.
Sion W during your Q, though.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but like it's okay. First of all, you don't have to do anything on Sion to do well on him.
Okay, bud, play 20 Sion games and let's see if you win. Let's see if you win any.
I think Sion is the lowest.
Aiden will
effort
RNG
character
good
in the
teammates
game.
And go 0-0-0 and win every game.
Sion is lower effort than Malphite, in my opinion.
That okay, that is incorrect.
No, it's lower effort than Malphite.
That's incorrect. Maybe only because his laning phase is easy. His team fighting is way harder.
You just fucking click stuff. It's so easy, man. It's so dumb. I hate him so much. I I hate Scion players.
Okay.
We hate you too, buddy.
Oh, it makes me so mad. They just fucking do anything. And then you're beating them in lane. They just flash an ult out all the time because they're just terrible players. Oh, it makes me so mad. Ultimate.
No, what you gotta do is you gotta let them get behind you and then flash through. You're gonna get an ulti through their base and curve around.
And is he so strong with his passive at level 1 when you solo kill him as Tom Kench level 1? He just punches you in the mouth and almost kills you, and then he keeps back in the lane and kills you.
Yeah. Oh. Thanks for the email, Cody. next one is from Camille, the Slovak dude. Subject, crossover. Hello, LeagueCast. This might be a good experiment. What move of any Pokemon would you like to use as a champion ability? For which ability would you swap it, and how do you imagine it working? Also, would you enjoy if spells of your champion were controlled by shouting ability names into your mic instead of your keyboard? I imagine it is a group voice chat of both teams. Decimating Smash!
Fuck no. That was awful.
Resonance!
It'd be kind of fun as like a goofy thing if you could set it up properly.
That would be such a funny like April Fool's game mode.
Yeah.
Like voice chat's enabled for everyone and you can't cast your abilities without saying their name.
But imagine you try to do like a combo. Imagine trying to insect someone with this.
That would be so funny. That'd be so Eminem would be so good at the game.
Oh man. Thanks, Camille. I'm gonna pick, what's that one that has like a 10% chance of just instant, is it Swan Song? Is that the Pokemon move?
I know what you mean.
It's like an ice move, right?
I haven't played Pokemon for a long time.
I know Lapras.
Parish Song? Is that the one?
Parish Song. Yeah, that's it. It just has a chance to instantly kill
you mean like the Sheer Cold, is that what you meant?
No, isn't there a what's the song that like
Parish Song is the one that like kills them after a couple turns, I think, right?
Oh, is it a couple turns? I always thought it was instant.
I'm pretty sure. Let me see. Starting at turn 4 on the turn the Parish Song was used, the Parish count will decrease by 1 at the end of each turn. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. There's a bunch of like one hit KO moves though. That'd be cool. I would love to.
Oh, sure. Then Parish Song. You just press a button and in 4 turns, whatever that turns out to be, they just die.
What if it's 4 games?
Oh,
they, what if they, the what if player they have the just dies.
Yeah, you have to snipe the them on minute. The fourth game.
It's funny. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think I play enough Pokemon to like really know. Either. Like the only like a cool thing would be like something like a big move like Hyper Beam or Solar Beam where you have to like charge it up for a while. I guess like Solar Beam have charge up, Hyper Beam you have to. But let's just say Solar Beam where you have to charge it up and then it's a fucking nuke.
Yeah,
that'd be sick.
What about
like Luxel? Luxel, you have to charge it.
What about
yeah,
spikes?
Luxel, but it's like a 2 second channel time, but like there's no indicator until it goes.
Yeah.
What about spikes? So when the jungler comes into my lane, he gets fucked up.
I watched a video you know of fucking competitive Pokemon meta. It's just so apparently just awful because just you put like a bunch of stuff to set shit up and it's just terrible and it's not fun.
You're either setting up or you're setting up for a sweep and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm so lame. I want to put rollout into the game. I want an ability that just ramps up in damage if you can keep hitting it. Like, can you imagine if like Ezreal Q they just added a thing where it's like if you don't like if you hit a champion with consecutive Mystic shots, like it just gains like stacking damage.
And it's called Veigar. He doesn't know. Hey, or Nasus. True. It's called Nasus.
Yeah, you're right. It's called Nasus.
But there should be like an ultimate that does that. I think that'd
be
really
cool. That'd be so cool.
Oh, like a really short cooldown one.
Yeah.
Like imagine if like Zeratul, it's like if you hit like multiple units, you get another charge and it does more damage.
If you hit all of them, you kill any target instantly.
Yeah. If you hit all 5, anyone that you hit with it dies.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, sorry about that. I yawn since I have to read. Thank you, Camille.
Yeah, I get it.
Next up is from Johnny. Hey guys, just 4 random thoughts. Nashor's on Diana is best situationally. Buy it first item versus Anivia and watch her rage quit. Combo gets her to egg. Nasha's sustained damage kills the egg before respawn, rinse, repeat, snowball. As for her combos, Riot says just dodge the Q. Number two, Colton has been the voice of reason lately. All right, let's see what this one's about.
What the fuck?
He rightfully points out that the vast majority of the player base doesn't want to be forced to play every roller champion, making the game better for the top 10% and more painful for the other 90% isn't great for recruiting and keeping the player base. I think we all agree with that pretty hard. Pointed out that universal voice comms are a serious disadvantage when you randomly roll the toxic slash tilted teammate or just someone who doesn't feel like talking with random children after a long day at work while the other team is five-heading it like Clash Champions. If you thought losing because you randomly got the AFK rage quitter felt bad, how about getting hard stomped while some high-pitched asshole is screaming in your ear? Everyone that mutes all from the start gets flamed and blamed, even if they're just doing it because they're female and don't want to get harassed. And how is Riot going to police it without a written record? Number three, something about the idea of getting rid of solo queue and force everyone to face five bans. I thought we already had that with dynamic queue, and it was an unmitigated disaster. Anyway, everyone is entitled to their opinion, but I just appreciate Colton speaking for the commoners lately. You need someone to stand in the gap on the or the podcast turns into a three-way circle jerk. Good job, Colton. Number three, I'm really disliking AD Katarina's new playstyle. I miss Gunblade and Electrocute. There probably should be a mixed damage first item and an Omnipen item. Just a hot take, probably OP. Number four, burst damage is fun for the player bursting. Taking all the burst out of the game makes AD carries OP and assassins useless. Assassin plays are far more fun to watch than auto-attacking AD carries. For the sake of esports, we need more burst, and there are plenty of items to counter it, plus supports. That's all I got, so hit me with the 04, and let's go, Johnny. All right. Number one, I think we all agree that balancing for the top 10% instead of the bottom 90% is a bad idea. And I think that we agree that basically you want to take the utilitarian approach. Like, this balance change is going to do the most good for the most people, you know, with the exception of making sure that competitive is maintains its integrity or whatever the fuck.
With this comment, I think he was talking about when we were talking about taking away positional queue and you just jump in and, like, call your role, basically.
Yeah.
And now, like, we talked about how we're pretty okay with that and that it would be even better if you could just say, like, I don't want this one. In that, like, all of us, I think, agree that, like, good players know how to play multiple roles. And they're, like, I don't think there's anyone who makes it to, like, LCS or LCK or, you know, any professional scene that probably couldn't get Challenger on any role. Right? Like,
Really?
Maybe not everyone, but I would say the vast majority. Like, I think you take, like, let's say there's 100 LCS players. I think probably 95 of them, if they wanted to, could hit Challenger in every role. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
Aiden just linked up. Okay. I don't know if I agree. I feel like, so if we go to, I don't know, a Challenger player... Challenger players who aren't in the LCS but are consistently Challenger, and I mean, let's take like Yasuo, you know, Mo, the Yasuo one trick. If we put him on mid lane versus like core JJ, who doesn't know how mid lane like works, the ins and out of it, like obviously that's a hyperbolic example, but I don't think
JJ like a season is what, I guess what I'm saying.
I'm sorry.
Like, I'm saying, like, give Core JJ, like, a season, and I don't think there's any role he couldn't, like...
No, absolutely. I think if we were to remake League, that would be the way to do it, absolutely. But the fact that everyone gets to pick a role before the game, before you even queue up for a game, I think it's too late to go back on that, personally. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. That being said, I personally would, like... Since I want to play all the roles...
You want everyone else to come down to your level, to be at the same disadvantage that you choose to put yourself at.
Yeah, there's that, and there's also, like, I wish I could queue for, like, all but one.
Yeah.
I really wish that was an option, that, like, when you queue Phil, you could choose, like, Phil, or you could choose Phil and not one, right? Like, I want to Phil, I don't want to play top, or I want to Phil and not support.
Yep.
I wish that was an option. going into the next thing with the voice comms, yeah, like we probably talked through it at that at length, but there's a lot of things that could be good about it. There's a lot of things that could be terrible. Plenty of other games have had it. I think it's just like, since League hasn't had it, people aren't going to jump into it at this point. And then getting rid of solo queue and force everyone to face five mans. Oh, so this is where we were saying, like, don't have like a ranked teams and a ranked solo. It's just like it's all one queue. Which, like, it's problematic. But ideally, if you're like, if your matchmaking algorithm balances the idea of like somehow puts a perfect value on cooperation and teamwork, like, then it can work. But like, if you're playing five solos into a five man, then realistically all of the solo players should be like a division ahead.
I mean, yeah.
But yeah, that's really just hard to do. So
I think comms should be in League of Legends, period. If you queue up your ranked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just have it and then like easy to mute. Like that's fine.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't care if you had a long day at work, don't queue up for solo.
It is a competitive game.
Yep.
AD Cat, new playstyle. Yeah, fuck AD Cat. That's dumb.
You know what's trash? This isn't a decision. It's not like we're still seeing AP Katarina players. Basically, every single Katarina is going the AD on-hit build. Yep. Like, this is AP Twitch all over again. You just pick the one that does the most damage. You don't have a choice. Like, I don't know.
I hate it.
It's trash.
Burst. What about burst damage is fun for the player bursting. Taking it out of the game makes AD carries OP and assassins useless. Is he saying that that's the state of the game right now with
Night Harvester? No. I think this is his opinion, maybe. I think this is just a regular opinion. He's saying, like, it's good that AD carries are weak because assassin plays are more fun to watch.
Fair. Okay, yeah, then I would agree with that. I think burst being in the game is necessary because there needs to be that balance of, like, right, there needs to be that balance of the assassin can 100 to 0 your AD carry, or you can pick the control mage that zones out the AD carry, but either way, if you do nothing about it, the AD carry is going to just sit there and melt the whole team.
Once again, like, I think Riot is very aware of this, though. Like, look at AD carries. Like, Kai'Sa, I think Kai'Sa is a fun AD carry to watch in competitive play. Like, very much.
Oh, I mean, absolutely, but she also has the benefit of building whatever the fuck you want and being a very safe AD carry.
I just mean, I think AD carries can be, like, fun for esports. It's just, like, not a bunch of them. Like, not Jinx, not Caitlyn, not whatever, right? Lucian, Kai'Sa, less so Jin.
Samira.
Samira's fucking awesome for, like, all of those type of characters are really, really fun and competitive, I think.
But I think overall, Johnny, you're spot on. I am the voice of reason. I'm right more often than not, especially because Nick is usually wrong. So as long as, like, Nick is always the one that's wrong, I've got a pretty even 50-50 shot of being right, depending on his or Nick or Aiden's side. Next email is from Camaril. What's the use of having a smurf? Hey, everybody. I've been listening to the podcast for about 6 months now and feel like I'm getting better at League just by soaking up information from the show. I had one question about smurfing. What is the use of having a smurf? What rank should you be before you start to consider a smurf account? And are there any advantages for lower elo players if they decide to have a smurf? Basically, smurfing, what's the deal with that? So in general, I would say, like, some people just do it to have an account to play on when they don't want to play on like their main. And so, like, it could be just a for fun account. But if you're asking, like, what's the utility for getting better at the game and the use of a smurf in that context, it's, like, practice things at a slightly lower skill level, but still in a competitive environment, right? Yep. Right. If I'm a D3 player, let's say, and I have a smurf in Platinum 2, I don't have to play my best five characters every game. I can try something new, get, you know, five or six games under my belt, and then start playing it on my main once I've become familiar with it. And I can, you know, take the time to learn those characters and maybe not do so well without affecting my actual LP.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people don't first time a character in LCS, right? They're smurfing in their scrims or their solo queue practice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's to play something when there aren't as high stakes.
Yeah. I think that's a good answer.
Yep. Thank you, Cameron Real. Next email's from Gutty. Subject: character reworks. Hey, Lee Cast, I recently switched to top lane after my AD carry since season 2. Had a lot of ups and downs over the years as an AD carry, and I finally am going to move past the role. Good. Regardless, that's not what this is about. With the character reworks that they've had on community vote, including the list currently voted on, I always ask myself, slams fist on table, what about Sivir? I think as a character, she is one of the coolest with her giant boomerang blade, and after all this time, she feels like an afterthought. I'd love to see Riot make changes to her ultimate, a weaker Righteous Glory, and her E, while the spell shield is important for returning her mana. I feel like it doesn't make sense for her as a character. I'd like to see a more aggressive ultimate, like her boomerang blade extend, so she can throw out a giant version of her Q. I also think it would be cool if they took the movement speed from her ult and incorporated a small dash less burst of speed for her to shift her into a more playable character. Maybe she isn't thought of because she has a low pick rate, but I would love to hear what you guys think about Sivir, or if you guys would have better ideas, or if she shouldn't be changed at all. I love listening to this podcast when I am working, and I look forward to it weekly. Thank you for the time, and of course, sorry about the long email, Gutty. Yeah, Sivir kind of does feel like an afterthought. I feel like for both AD carries and Riot as a whole, she kind of gets left in the dust until she is the one unnerfed AD carry that gets picked.
Until everything falls down around her and she suddenly is the best.
Yeah, she's a solid AD carry with excellent wave clear who has obscene mana costs that make it very difficult to play her in laning phase if you are trading and last hitting with your abilities. And she has a place when games are longer and you get to farm up to 6 items and do a lot of AoE damage, but the games are short right
when
now.
When you can auto attack the front line and still get like a 40% damage crit onto the AD carry.
But the games are short right now, so you don't get to 6 items. Damage is really high in the game, so AD carries are already pretty on the lower end of things.
Mm-hmm. That being said, if they were to rework her, I think Sivir is in a pretty decent spot where you could do a sizable rework without really like crushing her identity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I think it's her E and her ultimate and her passive. Like, I think Q and W are pretty fine.
Yeah.
Then
you're going to have to wait until we get to the S month.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to pay for that, Gutty. $1. 7 months from now.
Yeah, I mean, those are it. Even then, I feel like she has to keep the ultimate. So it all comes down to the E, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the ultimate you could definitely change.
I don't know. It seems like the most iconic ability she has, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair.
But,
and we'll talk about her in about 3 months on our Patreon.
Yeah. Anxious Penguins are the next email. Thank you, Gutty. Hey, Lee Crest crew. Hope you're all having a bomb week. I'm about 90% sure you've answered this question before, but I can't recall the knowledge from my brain. I was wondering if you could give me some advice on carrying solo queue games. It can be general advice, or if you're feeling particularly spicy, some top lane tips would be 10 out of 10. Play Tahm Kench. I was silver in my only ranked season I really played, that I really played a lot of games, season 7, but I wanted to actually try playing some more ranked this year and try and go for gold. I always feel like I am pretty good at letting myself get carried, but sometimes I'm also good about getting 2 or 3 kills ahead early and just can't necessarily trade that into wins. Any advice for us low elo future carries? Thanks, and of course I'm sorry for the length of the email, Anxious Penguin.
Hey, if you find out, let us know.
So I'm sure Aiden's got some top lane tips for you. I mean, noting that letting yourself get carried, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Let yourself get carried. Identifying your mistakes is huge and trying to do something about them, right? Like the fact that you're identifying some weaknesses in your own play, that's a good thing. Other than that, I mean, I think we talk about how to succeed in the solo queue just about every show. And there are a lot of things you can do, but I mean, as always, especially if you're like peak is silver, like fundamentals, learn how to last hit, learn like basic macro play, learn what jungle paths look like, you know, find somebody who's really good at the champions you play and learn the right build and play style. Like, all of those pretty easy to pick up fundamental things are things that you just need to like practice, right? If you're hitting 9 out of 10 minions and you're not inting to every gank, you're gonna win more often than not. So Aiden, any top lane specific tips other than playing Tahm Kench?
I think like top lane is a lane where you can get chain ganked, like repeat ganked over and over and over. I think just understanding like basic jungle pathing as a top laner is super important. Like understanding like you're gonna get ganked at this time in the game if they go for a level 3 gank, this time if they go for a level 4 gank, etc. Is really, really important. Because if you're pushed under tower, you're probably dead top lane if you get ganked. So I would just focus on like jungle pathing. Like honestly, just like watch your jungler, watch back a game and watch like jungle pathing, and that will help you out a lot. Other than that, it's just basic stuff like understanding like solo kill pressure and stuff like that, I would say. And obviously wave management. If you get like a hard freeze top lane, it's super easy for your jungler to do the same thing and gank them. Or if you like back at the wrong time and give them a perma freeze, you're gonna have to push up and break that freeze, and you're probably gonna get ganked and die. It's worse the higher you go if you don't understand that stuff. So
yeah. So hopefully that's helpful, and good luck on getting gold, Penguin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nick, next. Are you ready for the Undertoned email? It's been a minute.
Next email is from Undertoned. What's up, fellas? It's your boy Undertoned here again with a spicy email. I'll hop right into it and start out with a roundtable. Darius is currently my main, but I'm not playing him because top lane is a joke, and anyone who gets kited out by the enemy kites because your Ezreal Yumi didn't know how to walk away. That said, my current main is defaulted to whatever is absolutely broken right now. Therefore, you already know, Anivia, Malzahar, and Seraphine mid. But if I were to have Darius in TFT, I would have him Q enemy champions that are 2 hexagons away from him, healing for 15% of his missing HP per champion, slowing attack speed and shredding armor. If he's not within striking distance for his ability to land, he will reposition himself so he is able to do so. In case of 1v1. Or something like that. If an enemy dies to this ability, it replenishes a portion of his mana. For the meme answer, it would be Yasuo. Yasuo dashes into the enemy backline, forcing all enemies to instantly cast their abilities at him regardless of mana. Yasuo windwalls in the wrong direction and proceeds to do nothing. He flashes his Mastery 7 emote as he dies. Upon the next round taking place, all items you place on Yasuo turn into daggers, because if my team wants to troll, so will I. After 10 rounds of getting no kills, Yasuo will automatically turn 3 stars as items change to IE, Static Shiv, and Guardian Angel. He will then proceed to dash Q through anything, instantly killing it while performing Beyblades and flashing his Master Emote saying mid-diff in chat. On a different note, I wanted to bring something up in regards to Aiden's comment about how Riot removed most of the gimmicky things like AP Trinomere and Yi, but made AP Twitch a thing. Please explain to me, Riot. Please fucking explain. Why in the flying fuck would you bitch and moan about how champions like Vladimir scaled too goddamn well with Spellvamp, and several seasons later you seem to have pulled a Joe Biden and went full dementia and dropped Omnivamp into the game, like they didn't remove it for a good reason? Oh, you just win a trade with Rumble? Psych, 1Q and he's back at full. Did you just poke at Vladimir? No, because Vladimir is now the big suck. It drives me absolutely insane how Riot will listen to the community on something that is broken, then just re-add it to the game and everyone is okay with it. Once other mythic items get nerfed, items like Riftmaker will become insanely meta. I do not want to play against champions like Kayle, Rumble, Kennen, and others again. Pause for dramatic reasoning. Reading shit gives me nightmares. Make a shivering sound here. Brr. I already know you most likely did not follow my instructions as requested. If you didn't, I'm disappointed. If you did, I love you. Didn't have too much to say, but it's always great hearing you guys every week. Keep up the great work. Sticky kids, nice socks. Sorry for the long email. 626 out of 626. That's my unit. Would listen again. Undertoned.
It is crazy, like, and I feel like there's no one really had issues with them re-putting Spellvamp into the game, even though they removed it because it was not good for the game.
It's because they didn't call it Spellvamp, they called it Omnivamp.
Well, I think that there's a couple parts of it that made it a little more even. One is that because it's Omnivamp, like, a lot more characters have access to it.
That's fair.
Whereas when, like, back when Spellvamp was at its worst,
in the double Woda days,
like, right, it was because like those couple characters would abuse the hell out of it, But right now it's like, okay, cool. I can get like Omnivamp for my Twitch build or my Jhin build or Sion. Like, I could literally go Omnivamp on almost any character and it's okay. Whereas like the biggest issue with Vladimir, and it was like, right, his Q is single target. And I think at the time his E was considered just like multiple single target projectiles.
Who?
I'm not sure.
Sorry.
Vladimir old E, when it like chopped little like boops out. Like, I think it was considered like it was in a weird calculation spot where like the damage was single target, but what it was an AoE ability. But like,
I think you were right. I think it was like I think it was like Swain Q, but all around him.
Yeah,
but they're all single targets or something.
It would target individual units and hit everything within the range.
I think you're right.
But so like, now that it's accessible to everyone, it's not quite as busted, right? Because it's like, if everyone gets the OP thing, then that thing's not so OP, right? Like, if obviously it goes not equally amongst different characters. Yeah. Like, there's going to be some that abuse it way more than others. Like, if you gave every character a third summoner spell and they could just take two flashes now, like, yeah, it's going to be good on everyone, but there's going to be certain characters that's way better on.
Yeah.
But like, it's so much more accessible now. Plus, they did just nerf it on like every source. And with Ravenous and Conqueror having been in the game for as long as they have, like, it's been around. Like, any character has had a way, like, between that, or you could go still like the Gunblade for healing, or you could Death Stance before, like, there's always going to be, I think, an option, and it's just the way the league goes, where, like, the heal with damage is always going to be an option.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how the game works, and, like, until they delete lifesteal as a stat, that's going to be in the game.
Yep.
And if they do, like, rip AD carry as a role.
Yeah. Cool. Great email.
Yeah. I really like the Yasuo and DMT.
Yeah, that's funny.
I like that he knew exactly how we were going to handle his instructions.
Yeah. Next one is from Mundy. Hey, guys, adding a bit to my last email. What would it be a good build path for AP Bruiser Shyvana this patch? Do you need to start with a tank mythic, or could you go straight into Riftmaker or another AP mythic? What hybrid AP tank items would be the most appropriate for Shyvana? Demonic Embrace, Morello, Rylai's, Cosmic Dry, Zhonya's Banshees, Thanks, Mundy. If the plan is to go AP Bruiser Shyvana, like you're saying, and not full burst Dark Harvest with E, because I think that that's still going to be the better option.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
9 out of 10 times, is to just go Night Harvester, Dark Harvest, Max E, and go, like, Death Cap into, like, Void Staff. Like, that's going to be your most consistent way to do a lot of damage. If you want to go the AP Bruiser Shyvana route, you're probably going to want to go Conqueror into first item Nashor's Tooth, because that's going to give you insane clear speed. And then from there, you probably go into maybe the Omnivamp Mythic, whatever that one's called.
Riftmaker,
yeah, you probably go that into Riftmaker, into, like, Lichbane, and from there...
So where are the tank items?
Yeah, it's hard.
I don't know, like, I feel like you don't really go tank items, though, at that point, because the thing about...
Or the bruiser items. You purchased, Nashor's, Riftmaker, and Lichbane?
Yeah, so I purchased 3 damage items, and to me,
the game's over at that point.
you're still a bruiser on Shyvana, and like here's my thought about it. And again, me having played like 100 odd games of an equivalent of that build, I would say, where like I was going like Nashor's and then like Ginsu's and like weird ass other shit. Like you're still a bruiser, because if you go Nashor's first and are playing it properly, you're gonna have 3 levels on the game and 2 dragons, and that's where your tank stats are coming from, is the fact that you've out leveled everyone on the map and you're getting resistances from killing dragons.
Yeah,
yeah, that's like fair.
In my mind, that's the only way that really works. because otherwise you're just going to be like no damage.
Yeah.
But I would say if you really wanted to, though, you could go Nashers into Riftmaker, and then from there go like Demonic Embrace, like Dead Man's and Force of Nature, maybe, if you want to be tankier. And again, with that quick Nashers Tooth, you're going to clear jungle so fast. So hopefully that helps. I'll probably be playing around with that kind of build this patch now that they just made her even stronger.
So your answer is go damage.
Go damage. Yeah. No, get your tank stats by being 4 levels above the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And ignore your whole team and just power farm everything.
Hell yeah.
Let your watch your top laner die so you can take the wave. Next email is from Full Metal Alchemist. Hey guys, funny thing about this game is that when I lose, I want to play another because you don't want to end on a loss. Over the last few days, I've had a crazy streak of S rank games. Ooh. I got 3 in a row on Sunday, and then I got 1 with Ryze yesterday in my first and only game. Today I turned it on and started off pretty poorly with Diana into a fairly tanky comp, but I turned it around and got my 5th S in a row. I'm not particularly good at League of Legends, and I only play ARAMs, but I've had a bit of a purple patch lately, and now I don't want to play another one because my streak might end. It'll be over at some point, but for now, I want to ride on this high. Have you guys ever had a crazy streak like this? Other than your 467 S rank podcast episode streak, did you want to keep playing to see how far you could get it, or did you want to savor it for as long as you could? Keep up the great work in the podcast, Nick. I hope CLG manages to do better in the season than they did in the lock in.
Same.
P.S. Going back a few weeks, but I definitely choose the red pill so that I could learn from the pros. Even though I only play ARAM, if I could learn from Faker, I'd probably jump into the training a bit. Something else I'd be interested in as a casual player would be a pill that would allow me to pick whatever I want from Hex Tech boxes. It's so annoying when you open one and you just get a champion shard.
Yeah.
The new pill. Your boxes are no longer RNG.
It's funny.
So
for your streak hot stuff. Streaks. Yeah, just keep the streak going though. You gotta keep playing, right?
It like feels good to play well and to continue playing well, right?
I don't think my gameplay has ever been on a streak one way or another.
So I have you guys ever heard of the site called rewind.lol?
No.
I was gonna do this for like a section or whatever, but like either way, ooh. I entered all of our names into rewind.lol back when you had to like wait like a fucking 2-week queue time. On it, right? Okay. To like process your games. So it processes all your games from 2019, the beginning of 2019. And it like ooh. Tells you like a bunch of things. So Nick, for example, his longest winning streak in those past like 2.5 years is 11 games. And his longest holy. Losing streak is 7 games. In ranked, it's 7 wins, 7 losses for yours. For thank me, true. It's 11 games wins, 9 game losses, ranked at 7-7. Colton is 9 game wins, 10 game loss, and in ranked it's 9 game wins, 8 game losses.
Oh,
and there's like lots of cool stuff though. Like there's like biggest ints, hardest carries, longest games, biggest comebacks, and biggest throws are my 2 favorite ones.
I'm like, sure that I feel like I'm gonna be on the peak end of everything.
Yeah, no, it was like it was funny because Kenny and I were like comparing ours to Trevor's, for example, and he's a very different player than us, let's put it that way. Yeah, it's fun though. Like I think the biggest throws one is like probably my favorite category at the very like for example, Nick, your biggest throw in the past 2.5 years is a game where you played Lissandra and ranked and you were up 12k gold at 25 minutes and you lost.
Holy shit. 12k?
Yeah, and Colton's was he was up 11.5 wow. and mine was I was up 10.8.
It's cool. It has a team too heavy one. That's funny.
Yeah, no, it's a really cool thing. It's a lot of cool stuff. I'd recommend people check it out.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. All right, well,
cool.
Was there anything else? Have we ever had a crazy streak like this? So, I think all of us, yes. Again, like you're saying, like 7-7 or like 8-9 isn't too big. But I think if you looked at like a sample of like 20 games, like I think there are plenty of times when like out of 20 games, any one of us might have gone like 17-3 or something, or like had like an 8-game win streak, a loss, and another 8-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, definitely, I'm the streakiest out of us all. There have been times where I've gone, you know, up five divisions in 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
definitely.
It's, I don't know. I'm a streaky player, and I definitely get tilted, and I also make really bad draft decisions because I just want to play weird shit. Right, like, so, if I played Zillion every game, or if I played, like, Kha'Zix every game, my stats would look a lot different. But I'm like, fuck it, man. I want to play Varus this game, even though he's a C-tier AD carry. Yeah. That sounds fun.
So, like, think about it like this. Your streak is going to end eventually, right? You're never going to S rank every single time. You're never going to win every single time. Why wait to see if you can make it, like, one more day? Like, if you just play one game, you know? Just keep playing. You're playing hot right now. Keep going.
I do feel like that sometimes, though. Like, I have that, like, not to the same amount, but, like, when I'm playing ranked and I'm doing well, I go, fuck, it'd be so sick if I won another one. But if I play another one and I lose, I'll be sad.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like, all. It's always going to be that way, you know?
No, for sure.
Granted, like, breaks are good for the game. Take breaks if you need it. But don't be afraid to lose, because eventually you will lose. And then, like, what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's inevitable that you will lose the game. So just keep playing.
At some point, yeah. Also, just, like, since there is a lot of RNG on whether you're going to win a game or not, streaks are going to happen naturally. A 50% win rate player is never going to have win-loss. Like, they're going to have 4-4 or, like, 2-2, 3-3. Like, it's going to be all over the place. That's just how, like, random numbers work.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the only thing I would say is, like, if it's at the end of a night, go ahead, take your like, your win streak and end on a high. Because I've ended so many nights on a loss where it's like, man, it's 11:30. I should probably go to bed. But I could play one more and have 5 wins in a row. And now I'm going to bed on a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you go to bed on a couple losses.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then I try and turn it around and say, man, I can't go to bed on a loss. Oh, shit. It took me till 3 a.m. to get one more win.
See, mine ends up being, I've lost 6 in a row. I can't, it is statistically impossible that I would lose 7, right? It couldn't possibly happen again. Yeah. It's 50-50 and I can't roll heads
every time.
There's
no way, man. There's no way.
Yeah.
Thanks for the email, Fullmetal Alchemist, and good luck in choosing your Hextech drops.
Yeah. All right. Our last email is from Musical Wolfie. Hi, LeeCast. How was your week been? Hopefully you actually played League. We all did. Response to the roundtable. If you had to choose someone besides Rek'Sai, then I think Rammus would be a very fun 5-cost. He would leap into the air, land in the center of the enemy team, taunting, and become very tacky while shockwaves go out. I mean, tanky. But he has, like, a tuxedo shirt on.
Yeah.
I'm glad you liked my question enough to use it for the roundtable, by the way. I'm pretty hyped for the new skins. I play Jarvan a lot, and Fiora's skin looks pretty cool too. I don't know if you've watched the new trailer yet, but I noticed how there were no words or text in it, probably because League's audience is so international. Yeah, that was an interesting... I didn't notice that. That's cool. And a question, I was reading this article about how podcasts are becoming a lot more mainstream, especially since quarantine started. It said something along the lines of people don't like feeling alone and podcasts fill that void. Void, heh. Anyway, so I was wondering, why do you think people listen to LeeCast? What kind of people do you think we are? To be honest, I don't even know why I listen to every episode. I'm going to stop rambling. Ciao for now. Musical Woofy. P.S. I missed an email last week. So you get a bonus giraffe fun fact. Did you know that they sleep standing up? Also, they need about 30 minutes of sleep per day. I guess that makes a long rest sort of useless for Jeff the Giraffe and Musical Wolfie. Boy, I would do.
I did know that about giraffes.
Actually. I would do terrible things to only have to sleep 30 minutes a day.
I thought you were going to say I'd do terrible things to fucking Jeff the Giraffe.
No. Jeff's dope. But imagine,
I get
like,
dirty with Jeff.
Imagine for 23 and a half hours you can just do whatever you want. Only 8 of that has to be work, right?
Do you think when they release their giraffe champion, there'll be like fun facts like that in the game? Like if Zoe sleeps him, he'll have a line like, oh, I'm all rested.
Yeah, I hope he falls asleep and he's like, just kidding, I've already rested for 30 minutes. He's immune to sleep.
I dodged 2 games today, so I've already taken my 30 minute rest.
My neck is too long to be hidden in this bush.
Yeah. That's good.
He buys any size increase items. He starts peeking out of the bush.
I just want it to be his neck that increases.
In height or width? He's got a really chunky neck.
Yes. 5% longer, 5% thicker.
That's funny.
Perfect. So what you're saying, Nick, is that giraffe champion has been in the game all along, and it's just barren, and the entire rest of his body is under the
basically. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I forgot what the email was.
Why do people listen to podcasts? Because we're fucking hilarious. That's why.
I mean, realistically, like, I think we put out a fucking dope product. Like every episode. I think we get to have the benefit of being, I would say, more than average knowledgeable about the game, in addition to being like pretty funny, if I do say so myself, for all three of us. So I think that is a extremely beneficial thing, is when you can be really informative and, you know, bring a lot of humor, to the show. But I honestly think the biggest thing that has helped us in the more recent past, I guess, is consistency. For a long time, we not struggled, but we weren't as consistent, or we didn't place such an emphasis on consistency, releasing an episode every single week, or at the very least notifying you guys when we don't, making it aware, or, you know, planning for it ahead of time. And I think that's something that's helped us a lot. If you're putting out something every single Wednesday, every single week, people know where to look. They know when to look. They know, you know, when they can expect it. And if you miss a week, that can hurt a lot. So I think us being and consistent with, like that is really beneficial.
And with the nature of our content, some of it ages just fine, but like, right, patch notes don't matter 2 weeks after the patch.
Mm-hmm. You're never going back to like, oh, I'm going to listen to patch 8.3 and them talk about it.
They're like, I'm going to find out what's happening in the LCS a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the stuff expires pretty quickly. So that consistency on that weekly nature for us is important. I'd say, but I mean, like, throughout this last, like, year or two, we've been doing really well. Patreon's been popping off. We appreciate all the support, whether you were here before or after quarantine. And thanks for the email, Woofy.
Yeah. Thanks. Aiden, do you have anything to add about that?
I just think that we like produce like a pretty good product is like the main thing. I also think it's good that we like all get along. I feel like having people that just want to actually hang out and do the show is like really, really important. I think that's like, it shows when that is not the case. And I think we've seen other products that have definitely shown that. So
yeah, that's something that like we've mentioned before, but outside of the podcast, this is basically what our discussions about League are. You know, we talk, we have our disagreements, our debates, and like that's it's pretty much a look into, you know, our friendship together.
Yeah, and so we've mentioned that before, but like I'll say it again, like a lot of the segments that end up going on the show are things that we started talking about randomly on like a Thursday afternoon, and we're like, wait, let's talk about this on the show. Nick and I will start fighting and be like, nah, Kraken Slayer's better. No, it's Galeforce. Wait, we should talk about this on the show.
Well, we were going to talk about AP Shyvana recently. Yeah. And it was like, nope, we got to wait till next week when the patch notes come out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I mean, thanks for supporting. And I think I agree with the both of you. And I think we put out an excellent show every week.
Can you use the word product? Please.
Oh, sorry. I believe we put out an excellent product every week. Now, Nick, where can the good people find this excellent product?
You can check us out on Twitter at LeagueCast, on Facebook, LeagueCast. You can send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. LeagueCastPodcast.com is our website. Check it out. You can go to LeaguePassPodcast.com/Discord to join our Discord server, which is absolutely banging. You can join us for Community Nights Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, hosted by the one and only Mountain Drew. Check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLardOut/BlueBasket/KingLardOut/BlueBasket/LeagueCastFrost. And those two have been quite active, and I'm hoping to get a stream going in the near future. And then finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leaguecast. For just $1 a month, you can get access to us fixing the champions that Riot has in the game, doing their job.
They don't know how to balance their game, man.
Exactly. So thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Ciao for now.